Thank you.
So Christine, if you'd come up. The work that the group did was inspired by two successes. One, Clean Energy Works, which works with basically a near single industry, and having helped set that up and continue on its board. What you heard from Jeremy is that they took responsibility for building capacity because they didn't start out with much. And that's why when the slide came up and talked about the reporting on a case-by-case basis or a contract-by-contract basis, it's important to me that you know, the bells go off when we don't have capacity and that we work on building that capacity. So that was, Clean Energy Works Oregon did that in relatively short time period, and our expectations of bureaus and of this effort that would happen as well. The other touch point of success is TriMet. And TriMet evaluates on a contract-by-contract basis what the availability is and sets very aggressive goals on a contract-by-contract basis. And over the years, I've had a lot of positive feedback about the way that TriMet contracts as opposed to the way the city contracts. The last disparity study had those across-the-board goals, and it didn't work as well, in my opinion, as the TriMet efforts worked, despite a lot of effort and a lot of good intentions. So we are radically changing the way that we're approaching our efforts at contract equity by adopting sort of the two local most successful models. The expectation that it isn't just about, you know, oh, the city, there isn't anyone available, so, you know, like the disparity study, you get to check the box. No, our job will be now to go out and grow, to grow that availability, and two, to be able to sit down through what the state calls alternative contracting, but I hope will become our primary mode of contracting. I'd like you to expand upon this, which is not necessarily low bid, or as I like to call it, FERC low bid contracting, but instead to have very robust CGMC contracting processes. This is how TriMet has had the success that it has had. You want to speak to that?
I agree, Mayor. And so specifically you're speaking to our subcontracting piece, which we currently call the good faith efforts. And as opposed to how we currently do things, we have an overall citywide aspirational goal of 35%. And looking at our numbers for that, we met 36% last year for our subcontracting under our good faith efforts program. But the new program that we're looking at implementing is a project by project availability approach. So to look at a project scope, look at what types of work is in that project, and then do an availability analysis. The other part is, as you mentioned, working with our partners, organizations like Awami and NAMCO and some of the other organizations that have membership of minority or women contractors to get the availability to where we can increase those percentages on our contracts.
And the other accountability, when I look back over, because I too have been around, at least on this issue, since 90, whatever, 4 or 5, is with these reforms, you're looking at the person responsible for delivering the results, and her boss is sitting over there. And she's going to be empowered to tell bureaus no. And that means no exemptions from the pre-qualification for things that bureaus seek to get exemptions for. And on a project-by-project basis for pre-qualifications or anything else, Christine Moody is vested with these reforms and the ability to create administrative rules, which is also a best practice of TriMet, so that the administrative rules can be nimble. Christine Moody is responsible for making sure that everyone else that does procurement in turn is responsible. And that hasn't happened before, and everyone's gotten to hide behind citywide goals and, oh, they're in charge. And the frustration you hear from folks is incredibly legitimate. But we now know who's in charge. We ultimately are in charge, but on the staff level, you will get complaints from your project managers, members of the council, because Christine's going to demand a level of quality in the efforts around equity that, and she is vested with the power with this resolution that no procurement manager has had before.
Oh.
So I think Dante said I get hazardous duty pay for that.
You need a flak jacket.
I just wanted to follow up Maurice's point about the lack of minority contractors on the Fair Contracting Forum. I guess I've never really asked who is on the Fair Contracting
Forum. I'm sorry, Commissioner, I was looking through my notes. I do not have a list of who's on there with me. There are some contractors represented. Unfortunately, not all of those minority contractors always show up. And so what we can do is we can look at the list of those and do some refreshing for more interested parties of people that are actually interested, that do want to attend the meetings and have a vested interest. So when he was talking about that, I do agree that there are some people assigned and they just don't attend. And so we need to look at replacing those people.
Okay. And then
changing the time of the meeting so that those people could come, looking at
some additional outreach to them to see why they can't make it, yes.
I think it's also this point in the project is to check in with the committee. I think Maurice's point is well made. Check in with the committee of those that want to continue and then make sure that we have at least a plurality of minority or women-owned contractors.
Okay.
And then on the determining availability prospectively on a contract-by-contract basis, so I guess TriMet's done it, so there's a way of doing it. I guess, is that what the... Is that what the Dun and Bradstreet database is all about? I know we've talked about that. Okay, so how do you determine? Maybe I should just ask the more broader
how
question.
How do we do it?
Okay, you've got a contract for $1 million or so. How do you determine what the availability is?
So we actually,
on sort of a point in time basis, I guess.
Yes.
Right, so that data does have to be refreshed. So what we do right now is we haven't implemented the program, but we have a consultant who is giving us some availability numbers based upon the most recent disparity study that used Dun and Bradstreet and some other things like that. And so what you do is you look at the type of work, the categories of work within a certain project, and who's available to do that work with those categories of work. And then it comes up with an overall percentage for that project.
And so is the who's available a real-time calculation that says, you know, some contractor who may be available is actually...
I don't know how old the data is, but I mean, it needs to be refreshed. I think they said at least on a yearly basis. So
it's really on sort of like an annual...
Yeah, it's not. It's not I don't like think we would have a capability of doing something, you know,
yeah, that's
a weekly
why I was wondering.
Type of thing.
I wasn't quite sure how you do that.
But the goal is also to set up a program where we can ping people to get not official availability, but to get informal availability as we look, especially on the larger contracts. And that's the system that's going to be put in place that you saw in the last bullet of one of the slides was that directory. Sort of a understatement of we want the ability to ping folks based on the unique opportunities of a contract. There's, you know, cement work, and then there's cement work kind of thing. And we hope for more real-time availability along the lines that you're talking about.
And then my final question, the no pre-qualifications for jobs up to $250,000. I mean...
Annual pre-qual.
Well, that's what I mean. We don't really mean... No pre-qualification, do we?
Yes.
We do?
Yes.
You have to have a business license?
They still have to bond, and they still have to provide insurance, and they still have to have a business license and their CCB license. We're not doing a separate pre-qualification process at the city. Currently, we don't pre-qualify contractors for projects under $100,000. What the resolution and subsequent code changes would make it up to $250,000. So then the smaller... contracts are available and there's not an extra step for contractors to go through to okay. to apply for those projects or to bid on those projects.
Okay, thanks.
They still have to win the bid.
They still have to win the bid and they have to provide the appropriate bonding and insurance.
Right. But what the city's been guilty of is you do contractors do the pre-qualification, then you have smaller RFPs come out. They too can have special sort of informal layer of pre-qualifications, and it's a daunting obstacle course for small contractors and historically underutilized contractors to get through successfully.
So is the Fair Contracting Forum going to continue?
As it is, yes, because there is the resolution actually has us to develop administrative rules, and so those administrative rules will be ran through and briefed through the Fair Contracting Forum.
And they won't; those won't come back to council?
No.
The code changes will come back to council?
Code changes will come back to council.
Is there an ongoing advisory committee of the minority emerging small business and women businesses just for that group?
Other than the Fair Contracting Forum?
Yes.
No.
Well, given that it sounds like we're not getting as much participation from those groups as you would hope, I wonder if there might be an ongoing tracking group of those most affected. I mean, the outcomes, as Maurice pointed out, and as you know, and the reason we're doing this is because the outcomes are not what we hoped they would be. Mm-hmm. And I did take to heart the comment that coming back in a year or two might be too long in terms of being responsive, and you have in the resolution there's various things that we're going to be trying. I would like you to have an ongoing advisory group that would help track with you. It's very similar to what we're doing in the Office of Equity, is that we want the community to be with us every step of the way to see how is this going? What suggestions do they have? Is that something you consider?
That is the Fair Contracting Group that sounds like we need to improve the membership on that. You want some of the folks that have been part of the discussion up to date to continue on to have sort of that legislative history. But in terms of contracting, that's what we're looking to continue.
It seems to me it depends on who's benefiting. And if the majority of the group is are those who are already doing well, then it might be difficult. And maybe that's a reason why the minority businesses aren't showing up, is that they feel like there isn't the opportunity
to
make a difference.
So maybe a more, because I presented five different programmatic areas, and so there's maybe something that's more focused. So if we're making changes to professional services, maybe a more of an advisory group that's more interested in professional services, or if we're making changes to prime contracting, an advisory group that's interested in prime contracting. Is that along the lines of what you're saying?
Kind of. And also, do you have an overall Bureau Advisory Committee?
We have a Bureau Liaison Committee, yes. We're represented for, it's between our office and the bureaus. The Fair Contracting is our office with the bureaus and the community members and contractors.
Do you have so you don't have a community Bureau Advisory Committee that meets periodically year-round?
Other than the Fair Contracting Forum, no.
That's, I think
they only do contract.
Right. Now, with the success of the Minority Evaluator Program, there are now a lot more folks who've been involved in the contracting process who might be able to give you some good advice on the next iteration of this.
We'll check out all the way that we'll send an email out to everyone involved to get feedback on the, I don't know that a bureau-wide advisory committee is since they are the procurement bureau, I'd have to, we can have more conversation of what you're getting at. It's a good time for us to sort of reflect on how we've gotten advice on the policy development side, and now we're going into implementation feedback and changes. We'll pause and reflect on all that. Other questions or comments? We're going to start losing members up here for Christine. All right, Carla, would you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, I think this is a really good resolution. I think it's definitely strikes a balance. I think there's concerns a lot of concerns about how we're going to do this, and maybe about sort of what I would call maybe intentional ambiguities about how we're going to go about doing this. But that's, I think, to preserve our ability to do the most, to contract with minority and women businesses, and to develop more prime contractors that are minority and women-owned businesses. So I think the goals are good, and we're putting a lot of faith and trust in our procurement officer, Christine Moody, and I feel confident from her interactions I've had with her to date that she's up for that challenge and is living that challenge every day, in fact, in her, as she is now. So I think there's a good balance here, and we should move forward with this. So please vote aye.
Leonard?
Leveling the playing field for not just this subject matter, but employment at the city and a number of other areas has been something I've focused on since I've been here at council. This is the culmination of a lot of various efforts, and I think Sam is right and in saying that Christine has the experience, and in my experience hasn't been just that she's up for it, but I think she actually believes in these goals and helped us, as she alluded to, implement some of what we're passing today in the Fire Station 21 project, which we're very proud to be the first project in the city to incorporate these objectives and goals in, even before this resolution passed. So I'm pleased that we've been able to do that, and I have every confidence that Christine will make sure this is done and done well throughout the city. Aye.
Fritz.
This is controversial because it matters, and it's about the money, and it's about following the money and about who gets the money of city contracts. And I, too, have been very impressed with Christine Moody since she became chief procurement officer in her diligence, even after a bid is accepted, in going back and continuing to seek better representation, particularly in the subcontracts. However, we need to look at the contracts, the prime contracts, and who's getting them. I'm concerned about the limit of $250,000, which is relatively low in the scheme of the contracts that come through City Council. They're often millions of dollars. And what I like in this resolution is that it sets a standard for how people become qualified or companies become qualified, whether pre-qualified or not, that there's going to be clear expectations, and so that people will know when they're preparing their applications. And the Minority Evaluator Program has helped in all of us understand better what's required, what's not required. There's still a lot in this resolution that I have significant concerns about. I was thinking that we were going to be airing the conversation today and not actually voting on it, but we are voting on it. I'm prepared to vote in favor with the proviso that I'm continue to believe that many of the concerns that I've heard today are valid, and that we need to, and I'm prepared to vote for it because I know that Procurement Officer Moody shares the conviction that we need to do things differently and that we need to continually evaluate. I know that the Office of Equity will be involved moving forward, and I would encourage you to bring something back to us. This resolution says it's binding city policy, and we can change binding city policy by vote of the council. So I would encourage you that as things come up that you see need to be changed, let's not wait for a year. I don't see a schedule for when you're going to come back with a report on how is it working. I would assume that you would be bringing an annual report, something like that. When you bring the code changes, it would be helpful to me to have that clearly stated as to when we and how we would be looking at it again, and indeed the an improved mechanism for consistent input from the minority and women businesses into the program ongoing, not waiting for major changes, but doing them as we go along. With those provisos, I vote aye.
Fish?
Well, in looking at the resolution, I'm reminded that we're in the third or fourth year of really hard work. And I've learned a few things through this process. One is I've come to have great respect and admiration for the professional team at the city, Christine and the whole procurement team, for their work. Two, I've learned that when we have the right people at the table from the community helping us get this work, whether it was a selection of the contractor for the disparity study or oversight of that process, or in this case, the Fair Contracting Forum, we have a better chance of getting it right. And third,
with the focus that the mayor has brought to this work, I believe we're making progress. I'm actually less concerned about the city honoring the commitments it's made today than I am with the potential ramifications of a change in leadership in Washington in November. Because as difficult as it is to operate within the existing legal framework, I shudder to think about what would happen with a significant change on the Supreme Court and a new set of guidelines which further close the door on our capacity as government to remedy injustice. And I don't say that lightly, because this approach that we have adopted as a city is not just highly controversial, it's highly contested legally. And there is a, in my view, my personal view, a significant risk of the goalpost changing radically depending on the outcome of this election. So I just want to note that I have more anxiety about that than I do that the city is going to follow through on its commitment that we've laid out. So I thank everybody for their good work on this. And as someone who will be serving here for another 2.5 years, unless I'm recalled, I commit to doing my part to implement this work. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Peter Pariseau and my office for his work on this, and underscore my, and also the city attorney's office under my score. My thanks to you, Director Moody. It, you know, it is a, to a degree, a leap of faith that we're empowering you with as much administrative authority than that we are. But if anyone knows, during the changes that, you know, successfully occurred at TriMet, you'll know someone named Bruce Watts. And he was, at that time, empowered with the same kind of authority and high expectations. And they made some very quick changes to the way, in their ability to offer more equal and equitable contracting and contracted workforce opportunities. So I'm looking forward, in the time I have left, 165 days, to get the help you get the administrative rules in place and any code changes that need to come back. And we are determined to improve and lead the city, not only lead the city by example, but be a city that can lead other cities by example. So thank you for your work and everyone else who's worked on this. Aye. All right. Do we have anything else? We are adjourned for the week.